please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Grant us forgiveness. All may kneel for confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Upon this, your confession, I have heard from my office of the call of our being served with the word, and I'm so grateful to God and to all of you. In this day, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All may stand for the influence.
Let us speak of your statutes before me.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that as St. James the Apostle readily followed the calling of your Son, Jesus Christ, we may, by your grace, be enabled to forsake all faults and passing allurements and follow him alone. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The readings for this, the feast day of St. James the Apostle, are printed in the bulletin insert. The Old Testament is 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, reading from the 9th verse. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broke down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees who have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Here ends the Old Testament. The second reading is the 11th chapter of Acts, reading from the 27th verse. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Here ends the second reading.
Holy Gospel found in the Evangelist St. Mark, the 10th chapter, reading from the 35th verse. Thank you.
Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here ends the gospel.
Let's now confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22 in the front of the hymnal.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very power of God. He died from not being, being of one substance with the Father. For us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was inspired by the Holy Ghost, and was taken, was crucified also for us, for us, but he suffered in the Spirit, and the third day, again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand, and he shall come. Judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall be the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, to say God the prophets, and I believe one holy Christian in that solid church. I acknowledge one baptism of the Spirit.
Thank you.
The text is Acts 12, 1 and 2. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Here ends the text. Do you know what cockles are? I knew the expression, but I had to look up what they were. The symbol of St. James is the scallop or cockle that you see on your bulletin cover. James is said to have traveled far to preach the gospel. Seashells, scallops, or cockle halves were used by travelers to scoop water for drinking. But what does that have to do with the heart? Cockles are marine bivalves, think clams. The cockles of the heart are its ventricles, named by some in Latin as cochlea cordis, from cochlea, snail, alluding to their shape. The saying means to warm and gratify one's deepest feelings. So, does St. James today warm your cockles? As you know, the date the church celebrates for a saint is his or her death day, not their birthday. Everybody's birthday is a birth into dying and eternal death, hence the pain that accompanies it. But a saint's death day is their putting off once and for all dying and death. A saint is a forgiven sinner. That is, anyone in heaven or on earth who trusts that Jesus' blood and righteousness covers their sins. So again, I ask you, does this festival of St. James dying warm your cockles? I'll bet you don't even know which James we're celebrating. I can say that because I myself had to look it up. There are three James named in the New Testament. There are James, the brother of the Lord, leader of the Jerusalem church in the book of Acts, writer of the epistle of James. There's James, the son of Alphaeus, one of the 12 apostles. He's associated sometimes with Thaddeus, sometimes with Simon the Zealot, and he might be the brother of Matthew. He's sometimes referred to as James the Little or Less, compared to the last James, James the son of Zebedee, the brother of John and cousin of Jesus. So which of the three is this feast celebrating? That last one. July 25th has been the Feast of St. James for 14 or 15 centuries. It commemorates his dying 42 AD in Jerusalem. But this only leaves my cockles lukewarm. Although I could have celebrated it five times since 1982, this is only the second time I'm doing so. But then scripture itself seems to give it little recognition. If you zoned out during the epistle reading, you could miss the scant seven Greek words the Holy Spirit says about the first apostle to give his life for the faith and killed James, John's brother, with sword. That's it. One of Jesus' inner circle during the apostles' 3 years of seminary training, one of the three eyewitnesses to the transfiguration, the raising of Jairus' daughter, and Jesus' agony in Gethsemane, murdered, killed, possibly beheaded, and the Spirit only has seven words. I'd hope if the authorities arrested and killed me for the faith, you could manage a longer text message. Well, if his death is lukewarm, I got to tell you, his life was hardly heartwarming. He was a commercial fisherman with his father and younger brother, John. They were partners with Peter and Andrew, and they owned several boats and employed hired servants. The establishment they possessed must have been considerable. Now, you know, the New Testament hardly has a favorable opinion of the rich, right? Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven, said Jesus. And he said that after he made the rich young man choke on his own riches. How about the parable where Jesus calls the rich man a fool for not being ready to die suddenly? Or how about these startling words from James, the Lord's brother, about the rich? Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. Well, that's how it is with the rich. Then in the words of Three Dog Night, I don't want to see no more. Not much cockle warming connected to his business, but what about the rest of his life? He's the brother of John, and since he's always named first, he's the oldest. His younger brother, six times, is called by the Holy Spirit the disciple whom Jesus loved. How would you like to be the older brother to the one who was the disciple whom Jesus loved? And we think our parents having favorites is hard to ignore. The two events we know about these two make James even less heartwarming. I say James more than John because James is the older. And being a younger brother myself, I know that I followed my older brother in all things. So when Jesus called James and John sons of thunder, I'm thinking James was more fiery compared to the younger beloved John. That nickname by Jesus probably came from the incident recorded in Luke 9. After the Samaritans refused to welcome the traveling Jesus, they asked Jesus, James and John, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? And then Jesus rebuked them, saying that their spirit wasn't his spirit. Ouch. But they weren't just sons of thunder. They were sons of pride too, as that gospel reading showed. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked, they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Jesus said, they didn't know what they were asking, but we do. We know Jesus' glory is his innocent, brutal, damnable death on the cross in place of our sins. The ultimate glory for Jesus, who kept the law of God perfectly, was to die in place of all lawbreakers. And who's on his right and left then? Two crucified thieves. Okay, James doesn't warm any cockles with his pridefulness, but it gets worse. Read Matthew 20, 20 and following. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, her kneeling, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You know, the only thing less heartwarming than a blowhard, hardcore, proudful man, a mama's boy who's like that. Matthew shows you Mama Zebedee kneeling before Jesus on behalf of her two growing sons standing right there. Well, that does it for me. Either we're removing this feast from the church year or we're renaming it the Festival of Mama's Boys. But Lutherans don't celebrate saints' days to have their cockles warm, but to have faith in Jesus stirred. We said in 1530, over against the Roman Catholic Church's use of saints. It's also taught among us that the saints should be kept in remembrance, so our faith may be strengthened when we see what grace they received and how they were sustained by faith. There's an early extra-biblical story that says James' accuser, seeing James' steadfastness in the faith, repented, declared himself a Christian, and was beheaded there with James. Now, whether that really took place or not illustrates what we are to take away from the life and death of James. Cockles warmed or not, faith. If Jesus can cause James to leave wealth, status, and family all behind to follow him with nothing more than words, promises, forgiveness, and grace, well, then he can cause us to put anything that ranks above Jesus, our forgiveness, our following him, in second place. But do note, we don't take this to mean you should all give up your jobs, sell your homes, and become pastors, missionaries, or Bible translators. We say in our 1530 statement of what we believe, each of us in his own calling are to follow James' example. I don't know how the faith, life, and death of St. James applies to your calling. I can't know what in your heart floats above, gets between you and Jesus. I only know that if Jesus can rescue James from being entangled in riches, wishing to be judge and jury, and pride, well, he can do much, that much and more for me and you. The thing to do is not start where it's natural to. Don't start at the beginning of James' life. Start with Jesus. Jesus knew all that James was and was not, even as he does you and me. Jesus knew about his proneness to thunderous judgment, his pride, and even his willingness to hide behind his mama's skirt. Yet still, he called him to the faith that for the sake of Jesus' innocent life and guilty death on his behalf, God had put his sins away. And so now, in the words of a contemporary worship song from the 1970s, when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. God forgot. The New Testament is that Jesus, that for Jesus' sake, God remembers our sins no more. God forgot that James wasn't of the same spirit as he. God forgot that James, though he deserved the number, God forgot that James thought he deserved the number two or three spot in the Lord's kingdom. The devil, the world, and your own flesh will never forget on this side of heaven what you used to be. But your memories, opinions, or fears, they don't have standing in the courtroom of God on the last day. He's not going to ask the devil what he thinks, the world around you what it thinks, or even what you think. He's going to ask Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, what sin of anger? What sin of pride? What sin of lust, greed, unbelief, bigotry, and hatred? I carried them all away from this person and had them nailed to the cross on my own body, took them into the grave, and rose without them. Anytime you talk about a saint who's died for the faith, the same unholy three that haunt you about your sins are going to haunt you about your faith. They say things like, you who can't even live for Jesus, how on earth do you think you'll be able to die for him? You who go out of your way sometimes not to mention his name in life, you think you're going to confess him in death? Well, it's all the same miracle. It's a miracle when anyone believes, be they a newborn babe or a grizzled old man. It's a miracle that I confess my sins and profess to believe in the forgiveness of them for Jesus' sake. Faith is a miracle too wonderful for me that God does in me through his word and sacraments. I know not how he will keep me in this faith today or tomorrow, let alone at the hour of my death. I only know that in matters of salvation, it cannot depend on the strength of the one needing saving, but on the strength of the Savior. Now that's heartwarming. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. People are remembering today in the general prayer are listed there in your bulletin. Particularly remember Bill Inman, who's recovering from hand surgery he needed to repair a torn tendon. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, grant health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislator of Texas, and to all of our judges and local authorities. Bestow on them grace to rule after thy good pleasure, maintaining justice and hindering and punishing lawbreakers, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in thy mercy. We pray for all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish, or peril of death, especially those who are suffering for thy name and truth. Comfort them with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and recognize their afflictions as being according to thy fatherly will. Lord, in thy mercy. And as thou didst sustain St. James in the faith, in life, and through death, so we are bold to pray that thou do keep the faith burning in us by thy word and sacraments. Lord, in thy mercy. And as thy mercies are new every morning, because of what Jesus suffered in the dark night of our sins for us and our salvation, so we are bold to ask for thy blessing upon Bill's recovery. May it be to thy glory and his temporal and eternal well-being. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. And bulletin, welcome all to our celebration of Holy Communion this morning. Given the sad divisions that exist in Christianity today, we can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. Trinity practices closed communion, which means the communion after members of Trinity, those guests who have been invited to communion prior to the service. If you are guests and not spoken to me before, please not come forward and receive communion. We're continuing out the communion liturgy on page 24. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary, we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in the multitude of thy saints did surround us with so great a cloud of witnesses, that we, rejoicing in their fellowship, may run with patience the race that is set before us, and together with them may receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy,
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night which was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, this cup of the New Testament, in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Amen.
faith, life everlasting, depart in peace. Blood strengthen, preserve you in the true faith, the life everlasting, depart in peace.
Thank you.
Christ, who has done for all your sin. Against the true body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done for all your sin. Take drink, this is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed the remission for all of your sin. Take drink, the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed the remission for all of your sin. Take drink, the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed the remission for all of your sins. Take drink, the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, check the remission of all your sins. Take drink is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Check the remission of all your sins. Take drink is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Check the remission of all your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen, preserve you in the true faith, and the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
I didn't see him up there. So we're going to go with that. Let's go look.
the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, fountain source of all goodness, we in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
In the chapel at 10 a.m., come in the back gate of the parking lot. We won't come in the front door through the red room at all, but come in the back. We need the library and the chapel changed, and we need the stage set up in the class as it was, in the auditorium. And you need to do the library sooner rather than later because I have class in there. But it needs to be set up today. Midsummer's meal next Sunday after service, and you should. This is your last opportunity to sign up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.